Welcome back in on a Monday morning on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs, Royals, K-State, all the above here. Your home for Kansas City sports, Royals Baseball Tuesday in the playoffs, and baseball coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. Find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. As the Royals and Cole Reagans will take the slab on Tuesday at 3:08, that game on ESPN2 or 96.5 The Fan.
People want to know where they can hear the game. You're going to be at work. We're going to have the game right for you on the Odyssey app. We're going to have it on 96.5 The Fan on FM. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have it on The Fan AM, which was formerly 610 Sports Radio. So I'm sure we'll have it on there as well. Everywhere that you could possibly want it for your listening pleasure when you're out and about on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You can join us at Jefferson's to watch the game as well. And could you imagine being the Braves and Mets today playing that doubleheader just to get into the playoffs and all the scenarios that could happen?
They have to play both.
Both games today.
I knew there was a bunch of scenarios where they could only play the first game. The second game wouldn't matter if like something were to happen against, you know, whatever. And now it's like, I saw Bob Nightingale tweeted something where like,
chances are that's wrong though.
Yeah. You know? But he had something where it was like San Diego losing today is actually helping them because now Chris Sale has to pitch, who then the Braves had to make a decision. Like, do we throw Sale out in a must win or do we save Sale and hope that he can get into the, to the playoffs? But yeah, so interesting that you play 162 games just to have three games really matter.
Really at the end of it all, right? So like you could eliminate games of the baseball schedule and go with 100, make it more of a sprint. Like, yes, every game does matter, but that's because we have all these games,
right,
you know, out there that are going to matter. But they enter Monday's doubleheader at Truist Park needing just the Mets and Braves. Both enter the day needing just one win to secure one of the two available wild card entries. Both clubs would gain a spot with a split, but the Diamondbacks get in if either team is swept. So the Braves and Mets each need a win today to get into the postseason. So that game one winner, whoever it is, do you take game two off and just let the other team win? Or like how are you approaching game two? It's going to be very interesting to see because I think that game one is going to be a dogfight, right? Like get that win in game one. You win game one, you've clinched. What are you doing for game two? Are you going out there and giving your all? Like if you're the Braves, right? Are you going out there and giving your all if you win game one? Or you just taking game two off and allowing the Mets to have that thing and let them get into the playoffs? Like if you're the Diamondbacks, you're kind of screwed right now because the only way you make it into the playoffs is that either the Braves or the Mets win both games of that doubleheader to keep the other out. And, you know, gamesmanship as well, being in the same division, they may want to keep the other out of the playoffs. It's going to be very intriguing today.
I would assume, like you said, whoever wins game one is obviously going to take game two off.
Yeah, like, I would think.
Which then means that you're essentially saying, all right, we're still going to be competitive, other team,
right?
But we're also going to know that we're in the, it gives me a lot of sort of like similarities to that Raiders Chargers game a couple of years ago where they could have just tied and both teams would have made, I think, the playoffs.
I think you're right. Something like that. Yeah.
But then for some reason, Brandon Staley called a timeout and the Sokka was like, all right, jerk face. Like we had a chance to each kind of give ourselves a bonus. And now you're trying to screw me out of that bonus.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to do to that. We're going to go down there and score and you're going to be out of the playoffs and then be out of a job.
Exactly. And it worked out well for Rich Bisaccia and the Raiders that day. We'll see what happens, though. I mean, look, I don't know how you approach it if you're the winning team in game one. I just know you probably go into game two and say, whatever happens, happens. Like it really doesn't matter. We're not going to hit and run. We're not going to, you know, pinch hit. We're not going to use our players. We're not going to use our starters. We're not going to use our, you know, our top dogs because we got a baseball game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Both these teams are playing tomorrow. And so the doubleheader begins at around noon today, Central Time. And then the second game, 40 minutes after that. So they're not delaying anything. They're going to play these games very, very quickly. And I think that first game today is going to be tension filled. It'll be a good one to kind of keep an eye on as you go about your day today here. But I'm glad it doesn't affect us. Everybody's in Baltimore now. Everybody's getting ready for their workout day today. We'll play that game tomorrow. And you really do. I mean, Corbin Burnes versus Cole Reagans, man. I mean, you want to talk about a legit like showdown in game one of the baseball playoffs. That's as good as it gets, man. Runs are going to be a premium in this thing.
Yeah, we'll talk to Royals manager Matt Cotrero on Wednesday at 9 o'clock, as we always do.
They're going to put a cheese blanket over the Orioles this weekend. I'll tell you that.
There was a lot of cheese blanket conversations going on this weekend, but you brought up a doom and gloom text, and you said the Royals if they were to lose this week. Right,
let's say they get knocked out by Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
And say the Chiefs can't make it to a three-peat because of the injuries that are piling up.
Right.
Who had the better season?
Yeah, let's say the Chiefs get to the AFC Championship game. Chiefs are in the playoffs. Royals are in the playoffs. Both get knocked out early. Wouldn't you say the Royals had a better season because of the non-expectation that was out there for them to get all the way into the postseason? I think you could argue the Royals right now have had a phenomenal season, right? Like the playoffs are just kind of gravy on top of the ice cream, if you will. So the Chiefs, their goal is to win the Super Bowl. If they don't win the Super Bowl, everybody at Arrowhead will look at it as a failed season. And I think that's the right way to look at it. You're this good of a football team and whatnot. The goal should be to win a Super Bowl every year. Even if the Royals lose in two games to Baltimore, I still think you look at them and go, you had a better season than anybody could have imagined. And unless the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, you probably had the better season of the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's two, sides to this coin. I think the Royals, no matter what the Chiefs do, will already win this conversation.
Okay.
Because they won 56 games a year before, and they're in a playoff team this year.
Right.
Whether you want to say, like the text line said, that one of their buddies or wherever they were at said the Royals they backdoored their way in. Sure.
As long as you get in, but they didn't backdoor their way in just because they didn't win Friday night and they had to wait for Minnesota to lose. That doesn't mean you backed your way in. They still got to win yesterday.
Yeah.
That would have put them in the playoffs.
Right. And they could have won Saturday. They took the day off because everybody was just hammered the night before. So
people were complaining about the lineup, right? I got a text from Josh on Saturday, and he goes, I got a buddy of mine that's complaining about the lineup that they're putting out there today. I'm like, dude, they had to find 9 guys who weren't hungover to play. Just tell your friend to sit down.
I was going to say, did they get mad about the Week 17 game when Carson Wentz plays?
I mean, you're complaining about the Royals lineup Saturday after they clinch in a game that means absolutely nothing.
I'm just somebody that's far away. I will be mad at the Chiefs. Don't three-peat because I think there's an entire nation rooting for them to lose.
I know. That's why they're going to win.
Where I think, as in baseball, I don't think really as many people care outside of Kansas City about the Royals being successful. I think if they obviously got to like the ALCS and played, I don't know, Cleveland, I think there'd be a lot of people that'd be like, you know what? I'm rooting for the Kansas City team because they're the severe underdogs. They're the small market team in baseball. Like, they're a wild card team. You know, they limped their way through the season and got in. That's a fair assessment to make. Whereas I think if the Chiefs were to lose, everybody would be like, finally, somebody else. It's so good to see them lose. So, like, I don't really want to see them lose on the route to the three-peat because, one, I've never seen it. Nobody's ever seen a three-peat in the NFL.
Right.
But, I mean, the obvious answer is the Royals.
Yeah.
They won 56 games a year ago. They won almost 30 more games this year than they won the year before. They're a playoff team. They're fun. They have the face and the superstar of baseball on that team. Salvador Perez is back where he's great in the playoffs. Obviously, you heard the hit of the wild card game from 10 years ago on the airwaves before your day started. So, I don't want to think about the Royals losing, but obviously, like, they're beyond house money at this point.
No doubt. We said
from the beginning of the year, just be competitive getting into St. Joe. St. Joe was in July. We're almost in October, and we're still talking about the Royals playing baseball. So the Royals are beyond house money.
Oh, they've exceeded the expectation like it's nobody's business. I mean, it's just been a lot of fun. But I know how fans react, and we've come to expect nothing short of a Super Bowl or nothing short of a World Series. And if it doesn't end in the World Series this year, it doesn't mean it was a failed season at all. It means it's the beginning of what we expect to be a long run for this football or for this baseball team, in the next decade or so to come. They're off to a really, really good start in this regime under Matt Quatrero, under J.J. Piccolo, and some of the moves they made in the offseason and capitalizing on some of the talent that was already in place. I think like 14 of the 26 guys on the roster came from Dayton Moore drafts and acquisitions and stuff like that. So they did a nice job of supplementing the talent that was here. And that's what you need to do with a baseball team. You've got your core, then you supplement around your core, and that's where Lugo and Waka and Renfro and guys like that come in when you supplement your core, and they did a very good job of that this offseason. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have that core in place, then that's going to be JJ's job every offseason. It's not try to build a team that can win, is to continue to supplement this core to keep them at the level that they're at right now.
No doubt about it. We'll keep this train rolling today, because we've got plenty of more stories to tell from that 2014 playoff game. On the other side, we'll have Ryan LaFever's story. Plus, we go to our DJ when it comes to the Chiefs conversation moving forward here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5, The Fan. It is an anniversary of what was 10 years ago, which was the wild card game against the A's. You probably remember where you were. I had the TV off in the seventh inning. I swear.
Did you?
I am a man of honesty. I couldn't take it. I was like, as soon as Yordano gave up that home run, I said, that's it.
I'm out.
I said, it's 7-3. Now, to be fair, my phone was on.
Yeah.
And the scores were up. And then about, 30 minutes later, I get a, you might want to wake up. And I'm like, I am up. I'll be right out. And it was all of our roommates in the middle of the living room just going absolutely ape blank. Yeah. You know what?
It was crazy, man. It was a wild night. Like, we were at the game. And it was like, it was just like trying to put together the show for the next day. And I keep telling the story, how many times the entire slate was just wiped out. You know, you went from, okay, this is kind of fun. We're in the playoffs. Okay. They're blowing this one. Oh my God, fire Ned. Oh my God, hire Ned. Oh my God, fire Ned. Like, it was just the range of emotion for everybody in that game was wild. And we asked Ryan Lefevre, who was behind the mic for that iconic call, what his emotion was like behind the mic that night.
There were some good baseball moments, and there were some personal moments in there too. And you mentioned, Ned being fired. And Bob, I remember, I think Ron Gardenhire had just been let go by the Minnesota Twins. And in all my years at Kauffman Stadium, I can tell you I have never, ever heard somebody get booed there like Ned Yost did when he went to get Yordano Ventura. And we all wondered, why was Yordano Ventura in the game in the first place? And he gives up the home run to Brandon Moss. He finally goes and gets Kelvin Herrera. And when Ned walked off of the mound, and we're thinking, man, this game is lost because Yordano Ventura was pitching out of the bullpen. What's going on? I remember thinking, like, can Dayton bring him back next year after all of this? And all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up with text messages. Ron Gardenhire, line one. Ron Gardenhire, line two. Like, it just seemed like a moment that he might not be able to survive. And of course, it turned out just great. But yeah, there were the baseball moments, and then there were the moments of, how's Dayton going to handle this tomorrow? What's Ned going to say after the game? So I do remember that part of it very well.
I want to keep going through that with the non-baseball moments, because with this whole thing that we're doing, we're hearing from players that were there, from other, executives as well. But I want to hear from Ryan Lefevre's point of view, because I imagine this was a dream scenario for you to see this from a booth and be around the game your whole life. What do you do when it's just you, the steering wheel, and a cloud and a sky full of stars on your way home after a game like that?
I don't remember the drive home. I can tell you that. Other than just soaking in what had just happened. And I didn't drive home. We came to the ballpark with a suitcase, not knowing if we were going home after the game or if we were going to fly to Anaheim. So it ended up being a long game. It was a late game. And then with all the celebrations and with all the post-game stuff, I mean, I don't think we departed until like 1 a.m. So I do remember just taking it all in and what did I just see? And but what really stuck with me was just the reaction of the crowd and how important it was to Kansas City. And as fate would have it, Salvi's hit was in the 12th inning. And going back to Denny and Buddy Blattner, they've always alternated extra innings on the radio, that whoever is the lead announcer calls the ninth, and then the number two announcer the 10th, the lead announcer the 11th, and this game ended in the 12th inning. And I never really thought much about the call, to be honest. It was just taking in everything that had happened. It was just like, let's see, so 2014 would have been my, 16th year with the Royals. And so it was just all of those 100 lost seasons, all of those good players that we weren't able to keep, and they moved on and they had big years in other places. Like, it just all came together that one night. And the goal, obviously, was to go further than the wild card game. But it was just so fulfilling to see Kansas City celebrating the way that they were, and the players celebrating the way that they were, that it's a very numb feeling. Even getting on the plane and people getting on the plane with their families in the middle of the night and we're going out to Southern California, it was surreal.
That's Ryan Lefevre recounting his memories of the wild card game 10 years ago. You can check out the entire interview with Ryan Lefevre on our podcast page on the Odyssey app. The full interview with Ned, with Ryan, with Gene Watson, Pedro Grifol, Christian Colon, Josh Willingham, Dayton Moore. All of those interviews can be found on our podcast page on the Odyssey app under Fesco and Dusty, and listen to all those guys who are right in that moment kind of recount everything that went on in that wild card game, the greatest baseball game we ever did see here in Kansas City, maybe one of the greatest baseball games of all time.
It's definitely up there. I mean, for me, it's the outside.
It's the best sporting event I've ever been to.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. I was just, in fact, I think I had just gotten information that I was going to get an internship here.
Oh, very good.
The inspector had emailed me and said, hey, things are a little crazy right now, but we'll get you in here in the next couple of days and talk to you.
Right.
And then the 15 run, I had just gotten hired. And obviously we were together for that parade then. But I can still remember very vividly many, many things of that evening. Probably the most sober I've ever been for a sporting event in that sort of level.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you know, I went into it. I was like, I haven't seen this before in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never seen playoff baseball. You know, I always told people like what happens first, a Chiefs Super Bowl or Royals World Series.
Right. Right. That was a great age old topic, right?
Unanimously my entire life. It was Chiefs Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Royals World Series happened first, and Royals playoff game that I actually saw win in a playoff game, you know, actually happened. I mean, I know that the Chiefs had beaten Houston, but like this one just felt different. It was, you know, so much relief, so much like emotion. I'd spent my whole life being a Royals fan and then to finally see them win. And I like Lefevre, what he talks about, how he says, you know, I don't know what, you know, really remember after that game, because if you remember now, you get best of three.
Right.
I'm not sure the Royals have that run they have if they don't play the next day, like less than 24 hours later, have to fly to Los Angeles, land at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then go play a baseball game.
Right.
Like they were still riding the high of winning that emotional, dramatic game against the Athletics. And, you know, they have a couple days off or they play a best of three. Maybe Oakland comes back the next night and then, you know, loses, but maybe they come back and win. And then all of a sudden you got to play a 3-game series and your team's different. Your pitching matchups are different. Royals won that game, went straight into L.A., sweep, went to play back home, Baltimore, sweep.
Yeah, the L.A. thing is so interesting because nobody really remembers it because of what happened with the wild card game, fly all night, do the workout day, play a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, and then all of a sudden that's over before you even remember, and then it's back for the ALCS against Baltimore, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, or I guess it wasn't Friday, Saturday, so I guess it was Friday, Saturday, off Sunday, played here Monday, and then Baltimore came to town, and you took care of them, and before you know it, we're 8-0 in the playoffs. You're like, oh, my God. So that's why I kind of relate this year a lot to what we saw in 2014, because again, going into that game, the expectation level was very small for the Royals. And I was talking with somebody in the Chiefs organization over the weekend, and they were saying like they're having these conversations about the Royals right now over at Arrowhead, like telling the folks who weren't here in 14 and 15 what it was like and what they're about to experience and what to kind of get ready for from a city standpoint, because I know for a fact, and I heard it over the weekend again, that Royals run in 14-15 really got the Chiefs jump-started as well. They used that and went, okay, if they're going to do this and we're going to see all of this for the Chiefs, for the Royals, we want to be part of this as well. And that kind of jump-started the Chiefs and said, all right, you know, the ball's in your court right now. And 10 years ago tonight, guys, like everything changed in the city. I still get emotional talking about it because of how big that game was, not just for the mindset of the Royals, but for the mindset of Kansas City and how we went from a town of where everybody said, oh, it can't be done. I don't know. To all of a sudden on October 1st of 2014, everybody in this town's believing in ourselves and in our city and that we were better than everybody else. In the last decade has just been a magical run, both on the field and off the field in this town.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, He's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Derek Johnson joins Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owner, open to all, invest in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, I got to ask, do you remember that playoff game the Royals won in dramatic fashion in 2014?
I do. It had the city on fire. And just like you said, with the Chiefs organization, we looking like we want a part of that too. So, you know, we have to step up our game and, you know, meet them at the top. But that was great for the city. I was there.
Yeah. Explain how that did affect you guys, because I've heard those stories over the years from so many different people out at Arrowhead. Andy Reid even told the story in 2015 when the Royals won it all. He looks at Veach and goes, everywhere we go, the baseball team wins. Are we ever going to get ours? Like, how does that motivate and impact another organization?
Well, they're right across the street. You know, it's different if you're across town or whatnot. When you're right across the road, it's like, all right, you know, having a parade and having all this just pub on winning it all, winning your sport all, and it's in Kansas City, meaning it can be done. You know, they gave us hope in a sense, kind of what you were saying, and it was great energy. And we supported them big time, and obviously throughout this last 10 years, Kansas City and the Royals have been supporting the Kansas City Chiefs with all the endeavors that we've been getting.
Was there that feeling, though, DJ, at one point, maybe even within the Chiefs organization or you yourself or other guys, that, like, Kansas City's great, but it can't be done here in Kansas City? Was that kind of the mindset for a while?
Well, when you hadn't won one in a long time, you get the sense of, man, it's a small market. You know, can you? Obviously, we can, but, you know, is that realistic? You know, are we going to always just get close? And that's been the tradition around here for a long time since we won it. Was it in 69 or 70?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then, you know, after you win it, you know, the gates are open, and you win 3, and then it's we're looking to win another a fourth one. So in this area, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's look at yesterday's game. I mean, just disaster from a Rashi Rice standpoint. They found a way to get a win. Let's start, though, with Rashi Rice. When a big time player like that goes down, kind of, you know, discuss the impact that has on the 52 other dudes inside that locker room.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. Injuries are a part of the game. You know, every year you're going to have a couple injuries, sometimes more than you want and bigger than you want. And Rashi Rice is a player that we've been depending on, has been playing really, really well as a young second-year player, star player in this league, number one receiver to this point. And to see him go down on a fluke deal, right? You know, everybody's trying to get the ball, Holmes going in there, and it's just it's a fluke thing. It happens. But when you get the news that he's out for the year, that your heart sinks, and it's like, oh, man, what do we do? But somehow the Chiefs find a way to figure things out throughout the year, really, when they don't have players that they depend on through injury. And this is going to be another year where we have to figure some more things out. And I think the Chiefs are up to par on that.
I thought with the Rashi Rice injury, you'd see a lot of deflating mannerisms with this team yesterday, but it really looked like kind of like maybe something that you probably enjoyed watching, which was that defense kind of put that one on their backs and said, we'll just continue to run the show today. Again, J.K. Dobbins, who had been a lightning rod, no pun intended, for the Chargers this entire season, was nowhere to be found yesterday. This team continues to shut down the run. This team continues to kind of have that Spag-style defense. And yesterday, that defensive line really showed up and really kept Justin Herbert from doing everything but not breaking his helmet.
Yeah, playing complimentary football is always in your best interest if you're going to be on the winning side of any NFL game. And the Chiefs do the best at playing complimentary football, meaning, hey, our offense isn't you know, doing what they usually do or not having as much success, especially with Rice going out and having a couple early turnovers. Our defense, like, all right, you know, they only got points because of the turnover. That's the only points the Chargers got because of Mahomes or the offense turnovers. But the defense, man, I'm my hat's off. Spags has been he's been doing this for a while. This is kind of consistent for him. Just being able to find other players, Veach and those guys. You know, you lose Snead and you think, oh man, we're gonna be down on defensive backs, but just younger guys just come up and step up, man. They just step up. The best marriage in football is being able to rush the passer and play good defense in the back end. So when you have those two things going at the same time, man, it's hard to do anything. The only knock on if I were to be trying to be perfect on our defense, is just trying to take the ball away a little bit more. We're losing in the turnover ratio, but we're still winning, which is like, wow, we're probably the only team that can do that. But we can get better, and we still haven't lost the game.
And it's safe to say, too, Derek Johnson, that this is a defensive first team right now. I mean, 25 straight games of holding opponents at 28 or fewer points. The mindset has to change, I think, from the fans right now, and no longer can we expect this to be an offensive showing. The league has changed a lot, too. But, I mean, this is a defense first team now here in Kansas City.
It is, and that's okay. Okay. I wasn't around during this time, but back in the, you know, 90s when Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and these guys, when you have big-time players on defense that like to get after the quarterback, I mean, Chris Jones, oh, my goodness. Why, you know,
yeah.
He just continued to just kill quarterbacks and affect quarterbacks, and people are so scared and running from him when it comes to rushing the pass to George Kolaftis. All these guys are doing well. Nick Bowden, man, we have no weak link when it comes to our defense, from the defensive line to the linebackers and to the defensive backs, man. I don't want to be surprised, but at times I'm shocked. Like, man, this is so consistent thing for Kansas City. When you think of Kansas City, you think of Patrick Mahomes, you think of Kelce, you think of, firepower on the offensive side of the ball. But this is a defensive team right now, defensive team. And Kelce did, by the way, I forgot to mention him. Kelce, man, goodness gracious. I'm glad he got a game like this. Just to obviously he knows he's got a lot of confidence and stuff, but sometimes we need to be reminded, and just as players, we need to be reminded, hey, I'm still the guy, I still got it, and Kelce showed that on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's not fat anymore, Derek Johnson. I'm glad that he's back in shape after everybody called him out for his weight. I mean, if he's fat, I'm morbidly obese, and I just probably will be, not on this earth for a while. But in all seriousness, though, the play that Rashee Rice gets hurt on, it, a bad play, but it happens early. The team kind of, has to redirect. Your guy from Texas, like, how do you stop that? How do you stop Xavier Worthy moving forward? Because I got to imagine his playbook got a little bit wider, and I feel like could be some crossing patterns coming over the middle for those linebackers. I'm sure that would be a nightmare for you to have to think about.
Oh, man. Xavier is so, so fast. When he threw, Mahomes threw the 52-yard touchdown to him, I actually thought he overthrew him because he threw it, effortlessly, but he really threw it. I'm like, man, he threw that far. And I'm like, that's why he threw it far, because he has to get it to one of the fastest younger players in the league, and Xavier Worthy, man, that was a spark for the team. We needed that at that time. So being able to be a sure catcher, especially with that DB all on his shoulder, he really caught it with almost one hand. But being able to spark the offense, being that young, and giving Mahomes even more confidence, saying, hey, okay, I can go to you, especially, when Rice is out like this. A lot of people going to really triangle or double Kelce now, especially when Rice is out, and it's going to be a time for Xavier to really step up and show that I'm
you know, one of the guys that can help carry this offense as well.
DJ, do you think they need to go out and make a trade or sign a wide receiver to replace Rashee Rice?
You know what? I would think so. You got Juju, you got Watson, you got Kelsey, names that we're familiar with. But I will look. I'm sure they're looking as we speak. Hopefully that can make a trade that makes sense. Because it's a long season. It's a long season. So you don't want to just, you know, not think about the future. And we've been really, we've had a lot of success by getting guys acquisitions either before the season or during the season to help us. And again, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Great pickup for us to just experience, crafty guy. You know, we all know his story, and for him to come back and really help us to be efficient in the running game. I mean, he was 4 or 5 yards a pop, which is pretty good for the running back spot.
No doubt, DJ. Well, enjoy the long week this week. We don't play until Monday night, so we'll talk to you again next Monday. Preview a little bit of that Saints game and enjoy the Royals' little run here.
No, I appreciate it.
No problem. Derek Johnson, former Chiefs linebacker there for you, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owner, open to all, invested in you and sheet metal workers, local number 2. I think it is interesting to have that conversation about Xavier Worthy, because it's unfortunately for him, maybe it's not unfortunately, but it's like, hey, man, I know you've only been in the NFL for 4 weeks. I know you've had a couple of splashes, but somebody's going to have to step up.
Maybe
they
haven't.
They haven't made a trade yet for a wide receiver. I don't think there's any trust in Sky Moore after the one and done play yesterday.
One chance yesterday.
That's
man.
Over.
Like, you got to make that play, bro.
Obviously, Kareem Hunt's role will expand a little bit more as we saw that happen live in front of our faces yesterday after the Carson Steele fumble. You'll probably not see him very much more the rest of the season. And then it's like, okay, didn't see a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster. The guy that I saw that they went to when they needed somebody was Xavier Worthy. And the thing that I'm interested to see is what his over-the-middle routes will be, because that's what Rashee Rice does. That's what Travis Kelce does. And now you thought Travis Kelce's coverage was tight. It just got a lot tighter because now Rashee Rice isn't on that team.
That's right. So maybe Xavier Worthy has to step up. Maybe it is Juju Smith-Schuster because I feel like they're going to go out there and they're going to try to add somebody, obviously, in that wide receiver spot. But you're not going to add somebody that's going to be as good as Rashee Rice. It's just this is where we are in the season. Those guys just don't exist out there. So it's about having everybody else step it up and raise their level of play. And if there's one thing in the NFL that we found out is there's really no growing pains. This isn't baseball where you give somebody 6 years in Pocatello, Idaho to pick their nose before they can figure it out at the big league level. This is the NFL. Guys come in and make impacts right away as young players in this league. Xavier Worthy has. He made 2 great plays yesterday. Kelce had a great play yesterday. They'll figure it out. Andy Reid has got more plays in his mind that he hasn't used, that nobody's ever seen before, that they can come up with stuff. I'm not concerned about it at all from an offensive standpoint because I trust Andy Reid and Mahomes and that crew that much. They'll get this thing figured out. It'll look a little bit different, and people will complain about their fantasy numbers, but as long as this defense continues to do what they're doing, they're going to have no problems at all winning football games.
Bob's making bets, and I've never been more proud of my life about it than what I had this weekend when he sent me the text. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. We get into the Royals on the other side and the surprises that have Bob Fesco thinking here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Fesco and Dusty, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco with you. Royals in action tomorrow. That's right. Not everybody else is. That's because they didn't make the playoffs, geeks. Welcome to October baseball here in Kansas City once again. For those of you wondering about favorites, the Royals, not the worst odds to win the World Series. Technically, teams that are already in, Detroit has the worst odds.
That's right.
Plus 2,800. The Royals plus 2,500. This is coming via DraftKings.
Those are dropping or increasing or however you want to say it. I don't know what the word is to use there because they were a lot higher over the weekend. And then you got Arizona and the Mets and the Braves, I still think, with some pretty high odds because we don't know which one of those teams or which two of those teams are going to go to the playoffs until later on today. The Mets and Braves have a doubleheader. If each team wins a game of that doubleheader, they go into the postseason. If either team wins both of those games, then the team that lost both of those games is out and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in. So very interesting day in Major League Baseball.
So yeah, you can go look at your, you know, go look at your future bets and see what you want to do there. You can do team futures. You can do all sorts of things. You actually did, and I'm proud of you. You did a Royals future bet.
I did. I bet them to win the World Series. I got it at plus 3,100 on Friday night. We were sitting over at Cactus Grill over there in Blue Hawk. Great jalapeno margaritas and some tacos, right? Just a delicious way to start a weekend. And my friend Joe, who brought the sausage or the steak, egg, and cheese bagel back to McDonald's for all of America, sent me a text. He goes, "What are the odds on the Royals?" And I looked it up, and I'm like, "God, plus 3,100." He goes, "I'm going to throw $100 when I get back to Kansas on the Royals to win the World Series." And so I'm sitting there with my wife and she goes, "Yeah, bet them, do it now." And I'm like, "All right." So I opened my FanDuel account. I had $25 on a free bet sitting in there. I'm like, boom, done. And I bet the Royals to win the World Series. And so if they do win the World Series, I win $775, Dusty. I'll take that payday, right? I'll take that payday. But I'm just kind of amazed that they're such a big underdog right now when they've got Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, who were legitimately two sides Young Award candidates all season long at the top of your rotation. I just don't know how many teams can live up to that. And getting Baltimore in the first round, that's the first break of the postseason for the Royals, because this team has not played an over 500 month since June. They were under 500 in the entire second half of the season. They play better on the road than they do at home. And so already the stars are starting to align for the Royals. I'm like, I love this draw because I don't mind the Yankees in the second round when you beat Baltimore. The Yankees are never a good postseason team. Mm. They're going to have this time off, and, you know, Rizzo went down for them. We're maybe getting Vinny back, and, you know, I'm not trying to look ahead and get there, but, like, the matchups just don't really scare me. I wouldn't have liked Houston. I'm not going to lie about that. I think the first big break was getting Baltimore in the first round of the playoffs.
And don't forget, you can come watch that game with us. We'll be at Jefferson's in Lenexa. Cody and Gold will be live there the next 2 days doing their show from Jefferson's in Lenexa. Hopefully Nick Price will give me some free food over there. I'm just kidding. I would gladly pay, but would love to see everybody out in the wild to watch this game, because look, baseball in the playoffs with the pitch clock as fast as it's going to be high octane, very quick. Very one of those things that the Royals win 1-0, you're going to look at Bob and be like, "This game's already over." And Bob's going to be like, "Yeah, and I'm already on my way home because I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day." But no, they play at 3:08. They'll be on ESPN2. We'll be at Jefferson's in Lenexa to watch this game. But I'm interested because last year I didn't really like follow it as close as I will this year, obviously.
You don't when your team's not in.
To see like how quick it goes.
Yeah.
But knowing how quick those games, like, When the Royals do have it all rolling and they're up 2-0 and Reagans is dealing, you're looking at your watch like, this game started at 6:40 and they're already in the eighth inning at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I mean,
and you're like,
holy cow. Right.
And playoff baseball, look, your two biggest advantages are pitching and defense.
Right.
And if you truly believe that the Royals are one of the better teams, and especially in this matchup they have better pitching and better defense, then you shouldn't feel ashamed of betting the money line at plus 130.
No, not at all.
And that's what it is on DraftKings, at least as of right now. And I think that, you know, it is kind of laughable that it's plus 130. I mean, they are on the road. They don't really have a good offense right now. But who knows, you know? Maybe that line goes down when Vinny Pasquantino's announced that he's going to come back. Again, we don't know that information. We know that what we've been told via Annie Rodgers, Josh Verner, anybody that's around this team, he's doing the best he can to get back.
Right.
Right, and he's going to have another, I think, bullpen session today and see where he can go. But, I mean, you add Vinny back to this offense, you bring in this pitching rotation into Baltimore, you win the first two games. I know these are big ifs, but if you win these first two games, bing, bing, look, a lot of people thought, hey, what if the Chiefs win weeks one and week two against Baltimore and Cincinnati? What does that mean for the rest of the season? Should be pretty good. The Chiefs can do the Royals can do the exact same thing. They can go to Baltimore on the road, less pressure. Like, the Royals have the least amount of pressure of anybody in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, they have no pressure at all. And that's the great thing. I mean, when you have no pressure, you're just playing free and clear, and whatever happens, happens. I think there's some pressure on Baltimore because they were a 101-win team last year. They're not playing like that sort of team this year. They haven't had a good month since the beginning of June, really. And on FanDuel right now, you can get the Royals at plus 138 in that game.
There you go.
Plus 138 on FanDuel. I mean, you look around, Detroit's just plus 110, against the Houston and Astros. Like, they're giving the Tigers a better opportunity to beat the Astros than they are to give the Royals a better opportunity to beat the Orioles and Corbin Burns. Again, something I just can't comprehend. Like, I truly can't wrap my head around that and figure out why, you know, they're such a big underdog. But you know what? So be it, man. Take all the pressure in the world off the Royals. Put it all on the Baltimore Orioles. And let's see what happens. I love playing these October games without any pressure. And the Royals didn't have any pressure in 14, and they won 8 straight and got all the way to the World Series before they lost a game. So I think it's good to have a team going in there playing free and clear, nothing to worry about, no pressure on them. Whatever happens, happens. Baltimore's trying to play for last year, getting, you know, bounced out early, and, you know, they had high expectations going into this season. They haven't played well of late. Like, I don't know, man. I just like the way things are lining up for Kansas City right now. I could be totally wrong on this whole thing. And, you know, here we sit on Wednesday and they go, you said they were going to win. They lose too. But I just feel really, really good about where this team is right now because I love the starting pitching at the top of the rotation for the Royals. And that's all you need is great starting pitching. And you're going to have yourself an opportunity to win this game.
Team speed, team defense, the series. Team pitching, the advantages in the Royals court.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I think there's several ways as a, you know, local Kansas City fan to watch this series. You can go in there like, I'm going to go into this series. Hey, they're in the playoffs. Do I think they can get it done? I don't think. I know they can. If they don't, it is what it is. Gear up for next season. Add to the team. See what John Sherman can do, because that guy's completely given a lot of people a different opinion about what he's done for this franchise.
And we can get into that coming up. And I do want to hear from people about where they are on John right now.
And then, you know, you could also go in there and you can be that fan. If you are, I can't help you. But, you know, nitpick everything. If they don't win, it's a failure. And, like, you're angry.
Do we still have angry fan out there?
You will, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's just part of sports. Like, they bring out the different sort of fan in every single person. You have your emotional fan. You have your, you know, just very, like, on the couch, like, well, that game stinks. And then you have your other fans that are, you know, calling everybody by their first name and thinking that they're best friends and, you know, trying to tell you what they should do. Like, here's a good bunting opportunity to see if Q draws it up. And then Bobby Witt Jr. hits a home run. You look at Paul and you're like, nice calling the bunt there, buddy. And he's like, well, you know.
Well, but do you still think we have the fan out there who's the I wanted to be right fan, so is rooting for them to lose now in the playoffs because they didn't think this was going to be a playoff team? Like, if they get bounced, let's just say they lose the two games for argument's sake here, right? Yeah. They lose in Baltimore. They don't get out of that series. Is I told you so guy going to put on his slacks and emerge from his cave? I mean, are we going to see that guy? Because there are no I told you so's guys. This is a 106 loss team that made the playoffs the following year, the second greatest turnaround in baseball history. If I told you so guy comes out of the caves with his slacks on telling everybody, see, I told you they weren't that good of a team, that guy can go bounce himself, man.
I don't know if you saw Jim Gaffigan on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But there is a chance you can see him live in Kansas City.
That's right. Him and Jerry Seinfeld are coming to Kansas City on January 18th. And coming up around the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan and Jerry Seinfeld January 18th at T-Mobile Center. All you have to do is be listening when you hear the Seinfeld sounder. Be caller number 7. For Seinfeld fans, you know exactly what that is. You'd be caller number 7 when you hear that Seinfeld sounder, and you will win a pair of tickets. We're going to do it every day this week around 8 o'clock and get you set up to go see Jim Gaffigan and Jerry Seinfeld together for one night only at T-Mobile Center.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Find how bad we were on the script. Oh, boy, on this one this week, as we get into the script of what we thought was the Chiefs-Chargers game from this past Sunday. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.